And if you could turn in your Bibles to Luke 20 and reading from verse 1. And it came to pass on one of those days, as he taught the people in the temple and preached the gospel, the chief priests and the scribes came upon him with the elders and spake unto him, saying, Tell us, by what authority doest thou these things? Or who is he that gave thee this authority? And he answered and said unto them, I will also ask you one thing, and answer me. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? And they reasoned with themselves, saying, If we shall say from heaven, he will say, Why then believe ye him not? But, and if we say of men, all the people will stone us, for they be persuaded that John was a prophet. And they answered that they would not tell whence it was. And Jesus said unto them, Neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. Then began he to speak to the people this parable. A certain man planted a vineyard, and let it forth to husbandmen, and went into a far country for a long time. And at the season he sent a servant to the husbandmen, that they should give him of the fruit of the vineyard. But the husbandmen beat him, and sent him away empty. And again he sent another servant, and they beat him also, and entreated him shamefully, and sent him away empty. And again he sent a third, and they wounded him also, and cast him out. Then said the Lord of the vineyard, What shall I do? I will send my beloved son. It may be they will reverence him when they see him. But when the husbandmen saw him, they reasoned among themselves, saying, This is the heir. Come, let us kill him, that the inheritance may be ours. So they cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. What therefore shall the Lord of the vineyard do unto them? He shall come and destroy these husbandmen, and shall give the vineyard to others. And when they heard it, they said, God forbid. And he beheld them and said, What is this then that is written? The stone the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner. Whosoever shall fall upon that stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. And the chief priests and the scribes, the same all, sought to lay hands on him, and they feared the people, for they perceived that he had spoken this parable against them. And they watched him, and sent forth spies, which should feign themselves just men, that they might take hold of his words, that so they might deliver him into the power and authority of the governor. As a young lad, I used to like reading adventure stories. And as I grew older and appreciated some of these adventure stories, I had the desire to travel and see the world. But in my days, it's a bit different to nowadays, where young people seem to be able to go and travel, perhaps a bit more brave in order to travel the world. However, when I found out that the Air Force would pay me to travel the world, I thought it was too good an opportunity to miss. And as they say, the rest is history. Now, I didn't have a bucket list of places that I wanted to visit, but one place that I would have loved to travel was the iconic Route 66 in America. Now, some of you are about my age, some. I don't know if any of you can remember, many years ago, there was a series on television actually called Route 66, and there's a few heads nodding. But for those of you who don't know or have never seen it, it was a story about two young men who was traveling along the Route 66. And each week, they will find themselves in a town or a city. And they will always become involved with an adventure where they would help an individual or individuals or organization. But when they left that city, there was always people who would have appreciated that they came into contact with these two young men. And the episode would end as they took off in their car, heading for another city where they would be able to help some other individual or individuals in trouble. Now, we are in a period of Lent, the time when we tend to focus on a different journey and follow a different hero. Of course, I'm referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. He left his home on a journey from heaven to earth a route that took him via the cross. As I mentioned, the two young men on Route 66, they had many adventures along the way, and those who they helped were always appreciative of the help they received. Jesus also, what we could loosely term, had adventures along his route. And he always had a desire to help those who were in need. Sadly, not all were appreciative of his desire to help. And some, we could say, were downright hostile to him. They not only refused his help, they totally rejected him and all that he had to offer. I trust that as we consider today's reading, where we have one of those adventures which occurred as Jesus neared the end of his destination or headed for his destination, we would be challenged or encouraged or both according to our individual circumstances by what we learn about him. In Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, Jesus said, "The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost." Here in chapter 20 that we've read, with 3 years of adventure behind him, we find that he's still doing what he came to do, seeking to save the lost. Along comes the chief priests, the scribes and the elders. These were men who were entrusted with the care of the people. They claimed to have divine authority to govern and to rule. They were members of the Sanhedrin, who could trace their existence to the 70 elders chosen by Moses in Exodus. So they believed they had divine authority, and they came to challenge the authority of Christ. The deputation came not to welcome him or to express their appreciation for what he had done during his 3 years, preaching the gospel to the poor, healing the brokenhearted, making the blind to see. They came to condemn and to criticize him. They came to challenge his authority. "Tell us, what authority doest thou these things, or who gave thee authority?" They knew the answer to their question. However, there was an ulterior motive to their question, as we will see later. At the start of his journey, God had said, "This is my beloved Son, hear him." During one of his adventures, a witness had declared, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him." There was no doubt who Jesus was. Jesus, however, aware of their deception, posed a question to them. "I'll ask you one thing and answer me. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of man?" Again, they knew what the correct answer to the question was. They knew the right path that they should follow, but they chose to follow a path that led them away from Jesus, the one who came to help them, the one who came to be a savior. Note their attitude. They reasoned among themselves, "If we shall say from heaven, he shall say, why then believe him not? But, and if we say of men, all the people will stone us, for they are persuaded that John was a prophet." They knew the truth, but they were not persuaded to accept the truth. As I said earlier, we are in a period of Lent, when we particularly remember Jesus allowing himself to be sacrificed, to be crucified on the cross, so that those who put their trust in him, believing that he is the Son of God, can be saved from the penalty of their sins. We live in a world today where people are still faced with similar questions regarding Jesus. They know the right answer, and they know the right path that they should follow. However, like the Israelite leaders, they reason among themselves, and then they ignore the truth. They know the right path that they should follow, but they choose rather to follow the path that leads away from Jesus. Realizing that the right answer would condemn them publicly, they decided not to give an answer. Jesus therefore answered, "Since you would not give me an answer, neither will I answer your question." The authority of Jesus was being questioned. He had been acknowledged by God as his son, and he had clearly demonstrated the power that he had. The questioning of Jesus' authority still continues today, and people attempt to set up their own authority. In Judges we read, every man did that which was right in their own eyes. And if we look in the world today, in our society, people seem to be setting up that which is right in their own eyes. When we set up our own personal authority, we follow a road that leads to the rejection of Jesus' authority. When we subject ourselves to his will, we have the solution to any desire for rejection. During Jesus' journey to the cross, he often used parables in order to present some truth. A parable is normally defined as an earthly story with heavenly meanings. The parable that Jesus was about to tell actually contained a reply to the question that was posed by the leaders. As I said, it's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. So let's first of all consider the earthly story of the parable. A landowner planted a vineyard and he let it forth to husbandmen. And the landowner went into a far country for a long time. At a season, a suitable interval for fruit to have been produced, the landowner sent a servant to the husbandmen that they should give him of the fruit of the vineyard. And that was a custom in those days. If a landowner loaned you his land, whatever fruit was grown in the land, part of that produce was given to him for, if you like, rent. The husbandman beat the servant and sent him away empty. Their attitude of arrogance, an attitude of ignoring the authority of the landowner. The Israelites were normally referred to as God's vineyard, and you can read about that in Isaiah chapter 5. Another servant was sent. They beat him also, and they entreated him shamefully. They insulted him, and they sent him away empty. The landowner sent a third servant, and they wounded him, and they cast him out, and increased in their boldness in rejecting the landowner's authority. Now the landowner could have destroyed them immediately because of the way they had treated his servants. Instead we read, the Lord of the vineyard said, what shall I do? I will send my beloved son. It may be they will reverence him when they see him. But when the husbandmen saw him, they reasoned among themselves, saying, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, that the inheritance may be ours. Now, if this parable was told to the general public today, and they not realizing that it was a parable, I would like to think that the majority of them would say that the husbandmen should be punished because of the way they treated the servants. Now, the question though, if they understood it as a parable, would they still agree that the husbandmen should be punished? Or would they think, if we say that they should be punished, we are convicting ourselves, because God sent his heir into this world to seek and to save that which was lost, but we would not have him in our lives. We have cast him out, literally killed him. Regarding the heavenly meaning of our earthly story, the landowner was of course referring to God. The vineyard, as I said, was the nation Israel. The husbandman was the chief priests, the scribes and the elders. And the heir was, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ. The actions of the husbandmen were all self-motivated. No thought was given to the landowner or his heir. When we surrender to our selfish thoughts and desires, only God knows where it will ultimately lead. This is the heir. Let us kill him. Jesus was clearly pointing out that they knew who he was. They knew that he was the heir, the Son of God. What of the actions of the landowner? We are reminded of the grace of God. We read, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to everlasting life. Hence, he continually sends a servant to proclaim the good news. Jesus saves. What patience he demonstrates when we continually show a lack of appreciation for his blessings. We disregard his authority and our responsibility to be obedient. The husbandman cast the heir out and killed him. What therefore shall the Lord of the vineyard do unto them? He shall come and destroy these husbandmen, and shall give the vineyard to others. And when they heard it, they said, God forbid. Is it God forbid that a blessed people should have acted in the way that they did? Or is it God forbid that the blessed God should want to destroy his blessed people? In Genesis 6 and verse 3, we read, My spirit shall not always strive with man. God is a loving God, but he's also a righteous and just God. God offers each of us a hand of blessing. Those who ignore it will experience a hand of judgment. Jesus, having challenged the leaders about their rejection of him, continues to pierce their conscience with the story of the rejected stone. It's a quotation from Psalm 118, verse 22, a psalm which these elders would know and realize that it clearly spoke of the Messiah. And he beheld and said, What is this that is written? The stones which the builder rejected, the same is become the head of the corner. For those who are in the building trade, cornerstone can mean a stone at the top of the wall that holds the two walls together, or it could be the foundation stone at the bottom that forms and holds the two walls together. Either stone is key to the two walls. In Ephesians, Paul talks about the cornerstone, referring to the fact that the Jews and the Gentiles will be joined in Jesus Christ. There will be no more Jews and Gentiles. We are all one in Christ. Whoever shall fall upon that stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it shall grind them to powder. Ultimate judgment. The message was clear to the leaders and to any who reject the authority of Jesus. One day, the stone that they reject will be the means of their judgment and suffering. And the chief priests and the scribes, the same hour, sought to lay hands upon him. They feared the people, for they perceived he had spoken the parable against them. Once again, we're reminded that they knew the truth, but they were choosing not to accept it. The truth had been spoken, but rather than accept it and apply it to their lives, they chose the ultimate, to get rid of it. Is that something that still happens today? Rather than accept the truth of the Word of God, are people chosen to ignore it, to write their own truth, and seek to live by that truth? They watched him, and they sent forth spies, which should feign themselves just men, that they might take hold of his words, so that they might deliver him unto the power and the authority of the governor. In verse 1, we saw that those who consider themselves as having authority to govern the people had posed a question to Jesus. Tell us, by what authority doest these things? I said there was an ulterior motive to that question. If Jesus had answered and said, I do the will of my Father who sent me, they would have accused him of blasphemy and seek to take him. The moment was not yet right for Jesus to commit himself to them. I said at the start that what lessons could we learn and apply to our lives? Well, I have alluded to some of them as we journey through the chapter. But just in case you miss them, a quick summary. We are God's creation, a sort of a vineyard. But because of sin, and wasn't God's choice, self has been managing God's creation. At the right season, he sent his beloved son to redeem ownership of his creation. There was a cost for that redemption. There were those who rejected his son and killed him. They meant it for evil. God used it for good. The death and sacrifice of the heir opened the way for God to redeem his creation. Those who are redeemed will be cared for as a vine dresser cares for his vineyard. Those who are not redeemed will be as one on whom the stone rejected has fallen upon. As we go forth, may each of us enjoy the care of the vine dresser and be fruitful in our lives. Amen.